As you eat, and we'll talk a little bit the Divrei Torah, you have here the sheets in front of us. And basically, the overarching issue, which we'll discuss, Shem Shmuel, which, by the way, he had his yard sale last week. He's a son of Davna Nezer, the great Gadol, and the grandson of the Kutzke. And he's a classic of Chassidus Sefer. The overarching issue is it's a very very basic problem, and that is we have many needs. We Jewish people have many needs, and all of our needs are dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem Yisbarach to fulfill them. And in the Torah, it's repeated numerous times that Hashem will give us the blessings, the things we need, if we do the mitzvot. And if, God forbid, we don't do the mitzvot properly, not only won't we get what we need, but we'll be punished. And we can even reach the point of almost utter extinction. God forbid. Now, Jewish history is replete. It's full of many, many good times and many, many bad times. And of course, we're dealing now in the parasha of Metzias Mitzrayim, which is was a very, very bad time, Golus, and then it became a wonderful good time, the Geula. Now, as we go through these situations in our history, so part of our mitzvah is that if we're in a bad situation of tragedy and danger, we have to examine our ways and try to find any sins which might be the cause. That's the mitzvah of Tainus, which is the Daf Yomi, which we're studying now. And it's the mitzvah of the Torah. So that means that when tragedy strikes, especially on the national level, maybe even on a personal level, but certainly on a national level, we have to presume that there's probably some sin or a group of sins which is making this happen. Fine. So we have to examine our ways and have fast days and do tshuva, and then it will be solved. For example, get the rain, which we need in Israel. The enemy may leave the city that he's surrounded, and so on. But this basic Torah view of national events, that there is no national event which is just a haphazard occurrence. Everything is connected to the bris, to the covenant, the commitment of keeping the Torah. Everything is either a result of mitzvos or chas v'shalom averos. This leaves us with a very, very grave problem. And the problem is, What if we cannot do tshuva? For example, let's say nowadays we had an incredible tragedy called the Holocaust. It was an amazing tragedy. Now, we know that many, many Jews were not keeping the Torah properly before the Holocaust. Many Jews, whether they call themselves Orthodox or not, keeping the Torah, according to the Gemara, doesn't mean only Shabbos. It means not having sinas chinam, not violating the prohibition of los sisnas achicha bezovecha, not to hate other Jews, lo sikom, lo sitar, not to take revenge, not to bear a grudge. And the Gemara says that most of our tragedies today are because of the love of Lo Sisna. People hate other Jews, not because of Chil Shabbos. So, many, many Jews, obviously, were not keeping the Torah properly, whether it's this or that. The Holocaust is a result of that. There's no question about it. I'm not saying any particular sin. I don't know. But let's say all 613 mitzvahs were not being kept properly, whether it's this or that. Chafetz Chaim said it's Lashon Hara. Whatever the sin happens to be. Now, clearly, it is impossible. Well, humanly, it's impossible after that Holocaust to get, let's say, the 10 million or so Jews in the world that are living today to do full tshuva. Many Jews don't accept the Torah, period. So how are they going to do tshuva? The Jew doesn't even accept the Torah. How am I supposed to get him to fix his ways? Many, many Jews who do accept the Torah are doing sins with a rationalization. They hate other Jews, let's say, because they think it's a mitzvah to hate them. For example, the Netziv writes was the sin which brought down the second base of Mikdash, because the scholars of Torah were involved, he says, in hating other Jews because they thought it was a mitzvah to hate them. How can you get someone who hates another Jew not to hate him if he thinks it's a mitzvah? Now, what can I tell him? That it's not a mitzvah. He thinks it is a mitzvah. His rabbis think it's a mitzvah. His posek says it's a mitzvah. The second base of Mikdash, the story of the Gemara, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, means the Chachamim were sitting there, the Chachamim of the Talmud, and they approved of the behavior of Kamsa. So how are we supposed to do tshuva if the Chachamim themselves are saying that this behavior, which is a sin in Hashem's eyes, is wrong? And of course, we have an incredible problem today that out of 10 million Jews, probably 8 million don't even accept the Torah as binding. Just maybe 20%. You can even begin to talk and say, well, the Torah is binding and the Torah means this, so let's try to fix this or that. But 80% don't even accept the Torah. So, given the fact that the fundamental covenant and bris between Hashem and Israel is that if you keep the Torah, you get the blessings, and if you don't get the Torah, you're going to get the punishments, and we went through such a punishment called the Holocaust, how are we supposed to straighten this out? We can't possibly approach the problem of keeping the bris on a national level. This is an incredible problem, frankly. It drives me crazy a lot. It's a big problem because we see that there's an ongoing situation in the land of Israel, and the Israel today is on the brink of a terrible problem. It's in a terrible problem. It's on the brink of, I don't want to say, survival is the issue, whether it will survive or not. We don't know. And if in the Jewish survival, whether it's here or there, certainly in Eretz Israel, depends on keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs, and you look around and say, how are we supposed to get the Jewish people to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs? So, Shemesh Shmuel is dealing with this issue because it's a very, very important question. Because we say every day the bris, v'haim shmar tishmu, or lo sishmu. But if we know that we cannot possibly succeed in that kind of equation, we will fail. So we are doomed, so to speak. So is there any solution to get out of this doomsday prediction? So here he comes up in these two articles in Pasha's Bow with two solutions to the problem, which I wanted to discuss. Because the truth is, we're very fortunate that this was the exact same problem facing Moshe Rabbeinu when he was sent to take the Jews out of Egypt. Because the Jews in Egypt, according to our sages, were on the 49th level of Tumah. which meant that every single sin in the book, every holy mission of Abraham and of Yitzchak and of Yaakov were being violated. The Jews were worshipping idols, violating the bris of Abraham. The Jews were informing on one another, and they were traitors among the Jews who worked for Paro and betrayed other Jews. They were violating murder. They were accessories to Paro's murderous plots. They were Mosrim, like Dasan and Aviram, who were Moshe Rabbeinu, for killing the Egyptian officer. They gave his name into power as being the culprit. And there were many Jews like Dasan Aviram. Dasan Aviram are not just two Jews. I don't believe if 600,000 Jews were tzaddikim, they would have allowed two Mosrim like Dasan Aviram to walk around and not kill them. So there were many Jews like Dasan Aviram. In fact, the sages say that 80% of the Jews died in the Makkah of Choshech because they were on Paro's side. They didn't want to go with Moshe. They wanted to stay with Paro. They didn't think that Moshe was real. Because after the 9 plagues, they still didn't trust Moshe, and they thought it was better to be with Paro. They thought Paro was going to win at the end. So 80% of the Jews were with Paro. 20% were suffering. So the problem was 49th level of Tumah, which means the worst sins in the world, idolatry, murder, betrayal of Jewish people. How are they going to go out? What merit are they going to go out? And according to our sages, if they would have stayed in Egypt one more day, that would have been it. They wouldn't have been able to ever go out. They would have been annihilated. They went out before the time that God sent. So the question is, how did this happen? Because God tells Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov also again and again, if you keep the Torah, if your children keep the Torah, things will be good. If not, they're going to be disaster. The Jewish people could not do tshuva. 80% wouldn't do it. How are they going to get out? What's the secret? If we would know the secret which got the Jewish people out of Egypt, and they had 49 levels of Tumah, then we would be able to use it ourselves to get our own geula, despite the fact that the vast majority of the Jews today, at least 80%, have no connection to the Torah. And the 20% who do, we have to say, we're not fulfilling it properly, especially in the area of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and man. So, if we would know the secret, why Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt, despite the fact that they betrayed the fundamental bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then we would have a way to get our geula, our own redemption, despite the fact that we, in our own generation, are betraying the bris of the Torah. So you can get a geula even though we're not fulfilling the bris, even though we're not doing what we say every day in Kriya Shema. Shema tishmu, and then you get a blessing. If lo tishmu, vavadatem, you will be lost. We have a way of bypassing the Kriya Shema. If we would know what it was that got Hashem Yisbarach to redeem the Jews in Egypt without any fulfillment of the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov on the part of the Jews. That's the issue which Hashem Yisbarach deals with over here. So, and he has here two pieces, and he has in each of these pieces two different solutions to this incredible fundamental problem. I would call it the fundamental problem of the Jewish exile and Jewish redemption. How can we have a Jewish redemption if we don't fulfill the bris of the Torah? Which means we have to get it against the Torah. Because the Torah says only if you do it to tshuva. Rambam Paskins, Ein Yisrael Negolim Ela B'tshuva. You can't have a redemption unless you do tshuva. That's a very, very bleak halacha. Ein Yisrael Negolim Ela B'tshuva. That means we have no hope, at least in the foreseeable future. We will never be redeemed, because how are we going to get everybody to do tshuva? So let's see what he says. a very, very important, I think, discussion. And there are two different things that he says in the two pieces. In the first page, which is one of the discussions, on Kuf Lamed Aleph, where I have that, the four checks. So he says like this, Kovet, the Medrash Rabbah, Kovet Evan, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kibadati Es Yisrael, Shenikru Evan, Kamodach Siv, Misham Roa Evan Yisrael, V'natal HaChol Eli Yisrael, V'omdu V'chisu Lefonai, V'vikashti L'chaloson U'lashlichon Ma'al Ponai, V'amati B'shvil Paro HaRosha, Shalo Yomar, L'hoyo Yechol L'hatzilon, V'omad Alein V'hogon, V'havei V'chas Evil Kovei Mishneim, Havei Kani Echbati Es Libo. Medrash writes that the Jewish people, God took us from the dirt and the dust and the stones and made us something special, and they made me angry and I wanted to destroy them. But I said that because of the wicked Paro, he shouldn't say that God cannot save them, and that's why they were killed, and that's why I made Paro have a heavy heart. Nira haperush. Dachboda slave Paro hoisa atzas Hashem lahatzol es Yisrael kishelo hoyu ruuyim lahatzola mitzad atzmam mipnei midas hadinim akat reges. Alkein ina Hashem liyad Paro shiach bed libo v'omad leneged Hashem ba'azus metzach uvozeh shitef al Kodesh Baruch Hu eskvod shemo imanu v'shuv tzorach ha-geula laman kvod Hashem shelo yischala. Neged kvod Hashem ein koach l'shum makatreg l'katreg ki lo yochal loma shelo yizkad eshem Hashem uvehechrech yasimu yad l'peh. He says Paro had a heavy heart. Was God's idea to save Israel when they're not fitting and they do not merit to be saved by themselves because of the law of justice, which is prosecuting them. Therefore, God made Paro have a heavy heart, and he stood against Hashem with an incredible audacity. And because in this way, God put his own honor with the Jewish people, we had to be redeemed for God's honor, that it shouldn't be desecrated. And when God's honor is at stake, there is no power which can in any way criticize what God does. No one can say that God should not sanctify his own name. And that's why all the critics were silenced. This is a very, very, it's a very good answer he gives. His answer is like this. If the Jewish people don't merit the redemption because we're not doing the mitzvos, but God merits redemption. So, if God is suffering because of our suffering, then that's why there'll be a redemption. Not because of our merit, we don't deserve it, but because of the connection between Hashem's name and his honor with us, in order to save his own name, he will redeem us. It says in Tanakh, at some point, Laman Shemo. God does it for his name. So Paro, because he made this an attack on Hashem, when Moshe came in, Paro was attacking Hashem. He says, "Mi Hashem, I don't believe in Hashem," etc., etc. So he made it a struggle between him and the Jewish God. When the enemy of the Jews, instead of just attacking the Jews, which he would have, unfortunately, the power to successfully do, he turns it into a battle against the Jewish faith and the Jewish religion, then he's attacking Hashem, the God of Israel. And by attacking the God of Israel, he is picking the wrong target, and the God of Israel will be aroused to defend the Jews. Not because the Jews deserve it. The Jews don't deserve it. If the Jewish enemies bring the Jewish religion into this struggle, they say the Jews have a dirty religion. The Jewish religion is a bad religion. So they're attacking the God of Israel, Chas v'Shalom. When they do that, then God saves us not for our sake. We have no merit. He does it for his sake. And he says that God engineers this. It wasn't just because the Goyim, they have sort of, they're stupid. God engineers it that they should attack God. It's a very interesting theory. It goes to, if you ever read the book Toma Devora by Rav Moshe Kodero, where he says that God puts himself, makes himself a victim of people in order to help people so God will suffer. So in our case, God allows himself, and more than allows, he engineers that they should make God himself, the Jewish God, the target, as well as the Jew. By doing that, so then God can step in, even though we don't deserve anything. So this is one answer to the solution. The answer to the solution is yes, everything in the Torah is correct. If we do mitzvahs, we will get the blessing. If we do averos, we will get chas v'shalom, the curses. But the other part of the Torah is also true. As it says in the Parsha, Leman Saper Shemi B'chol Ha'aretz. God asks for his own name, not because of the Jews. He has his reasons that the world should know there is a God. And that God is called the God of Israel. So if they refuse to accept that there's an idea of Elokei Yisrael, there's a God of Israel, they will be punished. And we will be redeemed. So this is a very important thing. That's why I think that our sages in the prayers have always put at the end of the most strongest prayers, where we pray for God to help us, always end the prayer by saying that God should do it for his sake, but not for us. At the end of Shemona Esrei, we finish the long 18-19 brachos, many requests. At the very end, we say, Asei Laman Shemecha. Asei Laman Yeminecha. Asei Laman Kiddush Yosecha. We say, God, all my requests for me, for my friends, for the Jewish people, don't do it for me. Do it for your name. It's going to be better for your name. So it's very important. For example, in the next piece, next few lines, he says this is also true on an individual level. Let's say I'm praying, I need help, I need parnasa. If I'm going to just ask Hashem, give me health, I'm a good guy, I deserve to be healthy, it won't be such a simple thing in heaven, because then the angels open up a book. There's a pluses and a minuses. Maybe I should be chas v'shalom sick in this world and be punished so that the next world I'll get reward, because that way it might be better for me to get my punishment for the sins and get my reward in the next world. I just can't tell Hashem. I do a lot of mitzvos, therefore keep me healthy. Maybe I should be punished to cleanse myself of sins, and I'll have blessings in the next world, instead of being punished in the next world, which is much worse. If I want a good life in this world, I can't really argue mitzvos. Because dafka one aveira, the bigger the tzaddik, the more reason he should be punished in this world, rather than the next world. The Gemara says that many times, that a tzaddik gets punished in this world. So I can't go to Hashem even and even begin to argue and say, listen, why am I sick? I deserve to be healthy. I do mitzvahs. No, because you're taka tzaddik. I'm punishing you now, so I don't want you to have punished in the next world. Next world is much worse punishment. It's better to be punished over here. So I don't even have a basis to argue. But if I go to Hashem and I say, Hashem, I want to be healthy, because when I'm healthy, I can really do mitzvahs properly. I can put on tefillin, and I can daven with kavana, and I can visit the sick people in the hospital, and I can raise money for charity, and I can learn a daf yomi. But if I'm sick, I can't do any of that. So you don't have to make me healthy for me, but lemancha, for you, to enable me to continue my avodas Hashem. Make me healthy. Or I say, I need money. Why do I need money? Because I'm a good guy? No, if you're a good guy, we won't give you money. So you should suffer in this world for the few sins that you did do. I say, Hashem, I need money, not because I'm a good guy. I want to do good things with this money for your sake. I want to help the poor people who need the help. I want to build Torah. I want to do things for Am Yisrael. I need the money to do it for your sake, not for me. Man, that's a very powerful argument. That's a powerful argument. That's what he says, the next two lines. He quotes from the famous Maggid of Kozhnitz. Inyan Zeri Isi Besefa Zichron Zos Leharebi HaKadosh Melublin. The Chozem Melublin wrote that in his book, this idea. Uvesefa Or Yisrael Amagid Mekozhnitz. Eitzen Nechona, very good piece of advice, La'odom, to a person, HaMispalo B'tzau Lo. He's praying when he has a problem. Shelo Yispalel Bavur Atzmo. He shouldn't pray for himself. When a person is in pain, Shechina ma'omeres kolani meroshi. God is in pain with this person. Himkein tzaro hu tzara shechina kiviyochel. When a person is in suffering, God and the Shechina is in suffering. Alkein yisbalel avu tzara shechina. He should pray for the suffering of the Shechina. Uvezen nistam pia makadrigin. And this would stop any critics in heaven. Beprat, ken Yisrael. Just like it's true by an individual, it's true about the Jewish nation. Kasher Yisrael Einam Kol Kach Ruuyim Midas Hadin Motzei Mokom Lekatreg Az Atzas Hashem Yisborach L'Shatev Kvod Shmo Gadol Imonu Shebetzor Seinu Yagi Achilul Kvod Shmo Yisborach V'Shuv Nisdan Pi HaMekatregim. So this works on the communal and on the personal level, to focus on what this situation means for Hashem. This is not a good situation for Hashem. It's not good. And for His honor, it should get better. It should be fixed. Whether it's Am Yisrael, the Jews in Israel, with their suffering, we're not going to say we're tzaddikim in Israel. We're going to say everybody in the world knows that this is God's land and this is God's people. And if the Jewish God is not going to step in to protect the poor Jews in Israel, they'll say the God of Israel doesn't exist, and let's say it's a different God. They'll say it's the Arab God or the Christian God or no God or whatever, but it's not going to be Elokei Yisrael. Therefore, to keep God's name in the right level of recognition and honor in the world, He should save the Jews of Israel, even if they themselves don't deserve it, but for His name. And the same thing, every individual. I don't say to Hashem, I'm a good guy, give me good things. I don't know about, first of all, I don't even know if I'm a good guy, really. And even if I am, maybe I should get bad things in this world in order to cleanse me for the next world. I have to say, do it for your sake. I have so many good things I want to continue to do, or would like to do. This is going to help me do it. So give me this request, or give me that request. It's all for your sake. So this is straight from the Torah, that God says to Moshe many times in the discussion about Paro, Sapa Shemi, I want the Paro to know. I want the Egyptians to know. He wants his name. His name has been desecrated by Paro and the Egyptians. He wants them to say, no, the God is the true God. It's his purpose in the world. The purpose of creation in the world was that people should know who he is. So we are the vehicle for that. The Jewish people, because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, and all the great Jews, we became the vehicle for God's name to get into the world in the right way. So that's why he has a vested interest that we should be able to do it. But we have to be focused on this, and then if we focus on it, we get the blessing. So this is one solution. This is a very, very important solution for our own situation. So we don't have to just say, well, lo im tishmu, lo tishmu. What are we going to do? How am I going to get 80% of the Jews who don't even accept the Torah in the first place to do the Torah? How can I stop somebody from marrying a non-Jewish girl if that he doesn't believe in the Torah at all? He doesn't believe that the Jewish people has really a reason to exist anymore. He doesn't believe in it. It's just an accident as far as he's concerned that his mother was Jewish. He doesn't care at all that there should be a Jewish people. He's an American, or he's a another nationality. He's not interested in being Jewish. How can I stop him? So the answer is, we don't have to. We have to get God's honor to be fixed in the world. We have to plead with Hashem. We see that your honor is being desecrated here. So let it be rectified for your name, not for us. That's one solution. Now we go to the second solution. The second solution starts in the next page, Kufnun Aleph. It's quite lengthy. Spends 3 pages on it. But I'll pick out some of the highlights of it. How do we get Hashem to redeem us when we don't deserve it? What are we going to do? So he says like this. You turn to the page Kuf Nun Beis, the second page after the next, the third page in the package. We have those 3 checks. Hine yadua she Yisrael hoyu az b'shval hamadrega uvememte sharei tumah. We know that the Jewish people was very, very low, the lowest spiritual level, 49th level of Tuma, and we had it all ready for redemption. For Eitzah HaYu'utza Haita, what was the solution to the problem? Shal kaponim tia behem midas hachnor v'habitul l'tzon Hashem. They should have the trait of being humble and nullified before God's will. Without any wisdom, they should be drawn to God, just by having faith and trust in God. Because of this itself, they will merit whatever they get. You are saying, you say that people who trust in idols will be like the idols. It says here that someone trusts in idolatry, he's becoming like the idol. You are saying, someone trusts in God, certainly he'll become like God. By trusting in God, you become connected to God. If you connect to something pure, you also become pure. And this by itself, they become redeemed, and they can leave the tomb of Mitzrayim. As it says about the future, Habakkuk said that in the end of days, there's only one mitzvah which is important. Shem says, Tzadik b'munasa yichya. Tzadik lives in his faith. So he says basically a word like this. He says that Judaism has a tremendous focus on practice, doing the mitzvahs. Shemoa tishma mitzvosai va'asisem osam. You will do them. That's lechatchila. That's, of course, the first and the basic, most important level, to do what you have to do and not do what we're not supposed to do. And the bris, the basic relationship, you get the bracha, chas v'sham, the bi'aklal, is all rooted on actions, or lack of actions. We do a mitzvah, we don't do a mitzvah, we do a bear, don't do a bear, everything is what do we do. However, there's another level of a relationship with Hashem, and that's the relationship of emunah and betochon. Even if we're not doing any mitzvahs at all, the Jews in Egypt are worshipping idols, and there are Jews there who are red coats, working for Paro, spies, informers, murderers, thieves, everything. But somehow every Jew over there, especially after Moshe came, believed that there would one day the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would take them out of Egypt. They had this tradition already 30 centuries, hundreds of years, that their father told them and their grandfather and the great. No one really liked Egypt. You could have been an informer, but you didn't really enjoy it. Everybody was dreaming, one day we'll get out. One day we'll be able to go. Now, that was an impossible dream, because no one had ever escaped from Egypt, no slave. There was never no such a thing. But they had the faith that it would happen. And even though they weren't keeping anything of the Torah, of mitzvahs, of Amos and Yaakov, but they just believed in this story. One day, we're going to go out, we're going to go back to the land of Canaan, because that's what God told our forefathers. So he says, if Jews have emunah and betachon b'Hashem, the betachon, the trust that this is going to happen, that itself makes it happen. Betachon makes, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The concept of trusting in Hashem makes it work, even if there's no other basis for that to work. So we say many times in Davli, Bitchu b'Hashem ad ad, ki b'ka Hashem tzur alamin. Yiftu l'cho yodu shemecha, ki lo azavta doshecha. When people have trust in Hashem, the trust itself creates the fact on the ground. It's an amazing thing. This, by the way, I saw, it's also the Chovas HaLevavo says it in his Shah B'tochan. It's not a new idea. It's an old idea. There's many psukim like that. David says, if you trust in Hashem, David says, I have no merits. David says, I have no merits. But I trust in Hashem, Hashem will take care of me. Many times in Tehillim, he says, I have no merits, I'm a sinner. My sin is in front of me all the time, but I trust Hashem is going to take care of me. And therefore he does. So this is a different platform, a completely different platform. The Jews will have trust in the promises of Hashem. That itself will make it happen. So, if the Jews from around the world went back to Israel, now they come back to Israel, they're Machal Shabbos, and they're eating treif, and they're going swimming on Yom Kippur, but why in the world are they in Israel? Why aren't they in Los Angeles? Why aren't they in Uganda, wherever? Why they pick this God-forsaken place, you know, this desert full of malaria, and now surrounded by terrorists, missiles falling on cities? Who needs this? It only costs $1,000, or now you can get a $700 ticket. It's off-season. One way is a $350. It's cheap. $350, you can leave. Why are the people sitting over there? So the answer is, it's not because it's nice. Most people over there are very poor. 80% of the country is poverty. Why are they living there? Because they have a dream. Who gave them this dream? That this is going to be the best place in the world. Why do they think this is going to be the best? One day, Israel's going to be the best place in the world. Why in the world do you think that? Why are you putting your life on the line to live here with your children? Because one day it's going to be... Who told you that? His father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. Where does everybody know this? From the Torah. The Torah says, if you live in Israel, Jews should live in Israel, it's going to be a beautiful place. Because God is watching it. God is watching the land all the time. So even if the Jew is not keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs, the only reason that he's sitting there is because he has betachon. When the missiles are falling, why in the world don't they get on the airplanes and run away? The answer is, they have betachon. Why do they have betachon? He doesn't know. He's a Jew, and Jews have faith that God said it's going to be good, so it's going to be good. He should know that God said it's only going to be good if you do the mitzvahs. If you don't do the mitzvahs, it may not be good. That he doesn't know, though that he doesn't care to know. He doesn't want to worry about that. He just knows God promised it's going to be good. So if a person has betachon, that Hashem is going to help him, as he says, without any chokhmah, not because of mitzvos, no chokhmah at all. It's very, very simple faith. Very, very simple. We call in the Lashon, emuna pshuta, very simple, no thinking at all. I know that I'm a Jew, and God said he's going to watch over me. If a person has a moon of shuta, betachon, pashut, simple betachon, bitchav Hashem ad-de'ad, ki b'kar Hashem solamim, God will always help him. That's what the Hasidim say. This, I mean, of course, it goes back to Chovos HaLevavos and other great Jewish thinkers. And by the way, this is against the Chazon Ish. His view of B'tochen is rejected by all Hasidim and the great Jewish thinkers. But according, B'tochen is not because I think I did enough mitzvahs for me to get the bracha. That would be completely wrong, because who am I to say I did enough mitzvahs to get the bracha? B'tochen means God is going to help me with no mitzvahs, because he's a good God. Period. Avinu Shebashamayim. He's a good tata. He's a good father. A good tata takes care of his kids, even the kids are no good. That's a good tata. He's always going to be there to hug the child, no matter what that child did. So, the tata which we have, our father, will take care of us. It doesn't make a difference if we're good or bad. He's going to take care of us. If you think like that, he does take care of us, because he is good. He does love. B'ni b'chori Yisrael. That's what God tells to Moshe. Tell Paro, B'ni b'chori Yisrael. I'm doing it because he's my son. I'm not doing it because he's a good boy. He's my Ben, he's my first Ben. I'm going to take care of him. I'm not saying he's good. So, the second solution to the problem of how we can have a geula despite all the averos, God forbid, is by having betachon and a very, very simple, let's call it naive way. Very naive betachon, without any hischakmus, and that betachon itself will make it work. Fundamentally, my personal opinion is that that's why Israel exists today, because of this simple betachon. There is no chachma there at all. No one's smart. Not a smart country. They are not smart politicians. They are not smart leaders. And they don't know what they're doing. But they do have emunah pshuta. They do have very simple betachon. They say it's going to be good. What's the basic thing that they say in Israel? Yiyetov, yiyetov. It's going to be good. That's the basic ideology of the place. No chachman. Why will it be good? He can't explain it. But yiyetov, it will be good. So, since they have emunah pshuta and betachon, Hashem gives a bracha. If you have emunah betachon, it works, even if you don't have mitzvahs. So these are the two solutions to the problem. One solution is, there can be a geula, not because of our merit, but because of the merit of Hashem, l'man shemo, kavod shemayim. And the second is, even if you don't do the ma'isa mitzvahs, but to have emunah pshuta, betachon, the betachon itself can bring the geula. And the mitzvahim, the Jews had betachon. That they had. They did have betachon. Okay. Go ahead.